reality extraction. Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
We must not confuse dissent with disloyalty. We must remember always that accusation is not proof, and that conviction depends upon evidence and due process of law. We will not walk in fear one of another. We will not be driven by fear into an age of unreason if we dig deep in our history and our doctrine. And remember that we are not descended from fearful men, not from men who feared to write, to associate, to speak, and to defend the causes that were for the moment unpopular. We can deny our heritage and our history, but we cannot escape responsibility for the results. We proclaim ourselves, indeed, as we are, the defenders of freedom wherever it continues to exist in the world. But we cannot defend freedom abroad by deserting it at home. Cassius was right. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. And good luck.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're ready, because straight from downtown Columbus, Ohio, it is time for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
Hey, welcome to the show. It's the 10th day of September, 2020. Don't forget, we are listener supported here at freedomslips.com. So if you head over to our homepage, that's going to be freedomslips.com. Make a donation. We'd appreciate that very much. And, well, we've got the hijacker out of his hiatus coming back for a short period here from vacation. How are you, hijacker?
Pretty good, Deacon. How am I coming through?
Good, good. Loud and clear. And I know we've got, you know, we talked about, over the past several years since Trump's been president, William Barr, the attorney general, being the Bush family consigliere, and walking into the old man's funeral, like third or fourth in line behind the old man's brother and then the sons. And apparently you've got some new information here that he may be brokering a deal for the second term of Donald Trump.
Yeah. So this is where we're at, Deacon. I ended up jumping on the High Council roundtable last night, really late. I wasn't going to, but Tones took it for the first couple of hours, and then he brought on Dude Guy and Free and Awake, and John out of Australia, Big John out of Australia, and I think also Aussie Paul, and the conversation was so good, so I jumped on, and so we were gaming everything out where we were basically at, and it's all pretty much agreed upon that this pandemic or this model, this first wave of the model, that we've been living through for the last 8 months is the model how they're going to take us into this whole one world order type of government and currency and probably religion before it's all over with. And so we were gaming everything out, looking at all the angles with all the information. And right with Barr, Barr kind of tipped his hand. He is the broker. He's the cleaner. So the central question was, does the one world order, their high council, do they need the chief executive of the United States, namely the president, whoever is the president, to basically be in lockstep to quarterback the final phase going in? And I was thinking, they really need somebody that's not like Trump, that basically, Trump flips around a lot of times. He's hard to control.
Right.
But Dude Guy brought up a big point, and that is the real next phase is economic. It's not that you need the chief executive to do exactly what you tell him he needs to do as far as vaccinations and everything else. And then you couple that with Barr. So the central question was, do you need the chief executive of the United States Corporation, if you call it, the most powerful nation on earth, to go along with everything what they're talking about? Mm-hmm. And Dude Guy says, no. The timeline is economic. It's not whether you're going to get a cooperative. And then I found out about Tom Fenton basically telling, everybody that Bob Barr is going to disappoint all of these, Trumpites that believe there's going to be 186,000, secret arrest warrants, and we're going to roll up the pedophile networks. So what appears to have happened is Barr is the broker. He's the cleaner. He cut a deal. By the way, Hillary Clinton, she's going to start to do a weekly or a daily podcast. Close to the end of the year, she's scheduled for, I forgot what network it is, iHeartRadio or maybe TalkStream or something. And then in January, Bill Clinton, he's going to do his own TalkStream. And so when you take a look at what Barr is actually doing, some deal has been made among the elite to give it basically to Trump. And Trump is going to let all these people go. And that's just from Barr's angle. Now, Dude Guy brought up the economic angle. And he basically says that their next big phase is they need to, you remember when Nixon went off the gold standard back in 73, right, Deacon?
Right.
And then we transitioned to the petrodollar. So that was a major decoupling sort of restart of the economics, where we went from the gold to the petro. And now we're getting ready to go from the petro, which is over, and we're going into a digital, basically a crypto type blockchain type of currency, universal credit, that type of thing. We're actually transitioning over. And because of that transition, you need the host, the number one power on the earth with its Federal Reserve currency, namely the United States, that is going to be the big one, the biggest nation that you got to get to make this transition. And so the thinking was, even though Trump is too hard to work, the fact is that he actually is, in the economic realm, a stabilizing factor. And so he's actually the perfect guy. And if you actually think about it, President Trump, he's been the biggest getaway bank robber in the history of the world. After this $4.3 trillion he basically gave to the bankers and the oligarchs and the Zionist, Jewish financiers. Mm-hmm. So he is their guy. And since it is going to be about economic, the next big rotation is going to be economic, you're going to want to keep President Trump in place. And if you think about it, if you think about the two sides, so we've got two sides in 55 days, we've got to pick between one side or the other. On the one side, you got President Trump, the nationalist. Some people want to say the white nationalist, whatever, the patriots. You've got the Israeli religious Zionist Jews, which are, you know, dual members of his administration. You basically got the, you know, the Federal Reserve, basically New York economic Babylonian godmen, what they're basically made up of, you know, Zionist with Mnuchin at the head, very competent. They know what's going on. They know money. He's got all the whole crews in place. Kushner's there. Everybody's there. So from a Zionist point of view, an Israeli Zionist, you really don't need to change anything up. That's your guy. Now on the other side, what do you got? You've got basically Biden. You've got the Black Lives Matter. You've got the communist. You've got the red Chinese. You've got the high tech oligarchs. You've got the Bolshevik atheistic Zionist Jews like Schumer, Nadler, that type of thing. But you've got a whole bunch of people that are incompetent as far as economics. They actually put that crew into place. It's going to take you 6, 8 months, a year. They don't have that. The clock's already going. So they can't even change up the crews. So the consensus of the High Council round table was it looks like they're going to keep President Trump in place. Also, he's a polarizing figure. Now, this goes along with Stephen Bannon's information concerning the underclass, the poor, which most people don't realize, but the poor right now, now I'm talking about the working class poor and the welfare class poor. They're a powder keg. It has now been 8 months since this lockdown. They're out of reserves. Nobody's got a dollar. Something like 30 to 50 million people that rent apartments would be in eviction court right now if it wasn't for President Trump's executive order. You can't evict them until the 1st of January, which, by the way, most of these type of investment properties, these apartment buildings, these duplexes, and somebody who picks up 3 or 4 homes and rents them out, you know, the small business people, these are all small business people. They're the ones going to get hurt. This is the middle class, another war on the middle class. So if you actually take a look, at the number of people, 50 million people unemployed. I mean, a whole millions of people getting ready to go homeless. So you got a powder keg set up. With them basically sticking with President Trump, they get a twofer or a threefer or maybe even a fourfer. The first is they've already got their Zionist, Israeli Zionist, Babylonian economic New York godmen in place for the economics to transition over to a crypto electronic blockchain type of currency that they got that in place. They got a polarizing figure, which once he wins, the cities will burn. And I'm talking about the minority majority cities. They're going to riot. They're going to go crazy, which also plays into their plan. Actually create havoc right on the street level. Trump is going to do that for him. That brings into play the blacks and the minorities, in which looks like their model is they've basically have separated the races through economic and class. And because the whites got, are more adept or superior, so to speak, at the technology, that once they go into this one world system, they need that group of people, namely the whites, the Indians, the Asians, the people that are adept at computers and networks, to be in place. and actually use them for what they would call the useless eaters, or the people who, you know, don't have any skills, the poor. That would be the minorities and the, you know, the poor who are going to go crazy once Trump is reelected. And so the consensus basically we got down to is they, and now with Barr basically looking like he's the cleaner and he's the broker, looks like nobody's going to go to jail. No Brennan. There's not going to be any big, looks like they traded off a coup against the sitting president for a second term. And Barr was the guy that brokered the whole thing out. And so we come to the conclusion, because of the economics and all of the rest of the factors, is that President Trump will be reelected in 55 days. Even though you might hear all kinds of other things like, you know, it's too close to call, or, you know, we got to wait for the mail-in ballots a week or 2 weeks after, and it's going to go to the Supreme Court. At the end of the day, it's going to be, Dugay was right, it's going to be the economics. They need the economics of the major global reserve currency to go along and to transition into the next stage, which is a one world order currency, crypto, blockchain, good crypto type of currency. And so that's where we arrived at, Deacon. So there's my little spiel. That's why I wanted to get on the air. Hopefully I laid it out clean enough to for people to so they can see what I'm talking about. I don't know. Did I?
So, well,
go ahead.
Yeah. So what you're saying is no one's going to go to jail and no one's going to get in trouble and no one's going to find out that they were screwing little boys and little girls and none of that stuff.
No, and that's been traded.
Yeah. And deals been cut that they've ripped and teared at this guy in this country so bad over the past 4 years with the riots and stuff. Barr brokered a deal between the left and Trump, and they're going to call this stuff off, and he's going to get reelected. Is that what you're basically what you're saying? You think?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That, and because of the economics of the United States, they need the United States, they need a money man. A guy like Trump to transition us into this new universal credit, this new cryptocurrency, whatever it's going to be. They need that guy. And then the other factor is that if they get rid of Trump, Trump's got the hearts and minds of a large block of the middle class, the white middle class, the patriots, the people that got the guns. And so when they make this transition, it's like how they're gonna harvest the herd. Well, you want to cut off sort of the sick and the unhealthy or the unskilled, you know, the people that like you see rampaging in the streets. They can't see the true reality that we're in, and so you sacrifice all that stuff first. You clean it. And so Stephen Bannon's right. That's what they're planning on doing.
So you're saying that Obama and Clinton and the left threw all these people under the bus.
Absolutely. Basically. Yep.
So this is all about them not going to prison and getting executed, basically, then, right? That's what this whole thing's all about. That was their power play to back Trump off and to do a deal. Right? Is that what this is basically what it comes down to?
Yeah, Barr did the deal, and nobody's going to jail.
QAnon was a psyop to keep us shut, our mouths shut, right? The whole time.
Well, yeah, to keep us from getting organized, to coming up with congressional conservative councils, other particular political models where we could have, like the Tea Party, could have reassembled. That's what that was all about. Was basically giving us the false hope. And I saw through QAnon right from the beginning. I mean, I may have spent maybe 4, maybe 5 hours total actually looking through his stuff or their stuff. But it does look like it's an Israeli Mossad flavored with a Patriot Americans in there giving them good ideas on how to post all this stuff. I don't even know what the QAnon's up to, but no. No, the deal's been done. Barr is the broker. Nobody's going to jail. The next step, dude, guys, right, it's economic. Even though Trump's too hard to work and you do need a chief executive to go along with, you got to mandatory, you got to get the vaccination, all the rest. The big thing is they're concerned, especially the Jewish Zionist, Babylonian economic New York God men. It's about the money, and they need to get the money right as they transition this whole world system into some kind of new universal currency, so to speak. And it's going to be easier for Trump to come up with a universal income credit where you get paid to stay home versus Biden. But Trump, it's like only Nixon could go to China. Yeah. Only President Trump could introduce a universal income credit. It's that type of dichotomy, so to speak.
They have sort of called a lot of this off or calmed it down or it's subsided quite a bit over the past couple of weeks. So maybe they've been negotiating here, you know what I'm saying? And ratcheted it down. I think if what you're saying is correct, I don't think Trump had a choice, man. I think they backed him into a corner with all these.
He's captured. Yeah. No question about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know if it's because of, a Jewish Russian oligarch and his business dealings or something with his casinos that he owned with the mob, or it could have been when he was like younger, you know, imagine a younger President Trump, you know, 50-ish, a billionaire, and Epstein, you know, he's pounding around with Epstein and he's looking at that young flesh, and we know he's inclined to, he's inclined to women. I mean, he likes women. So maybe they had something on him on that sense. These 14, 15, 16-year-old girls running around Epstein. Who knows? But it does look like the whole government's been compromised. Epstein was just like one of a blackmailing operation. And it was basically the Jews learned well. They remembered Samson and Delilah, and they've picked up that model, and they go, wow, you mean you can corrupt and you can take over a nation through blackmail by just, going out in public and finding all these Delilahs, you know, these 14, 15-year-old Delilahs, and these American powerful men will fall head over heels for them? Is it that easy? Unfortunately, it is. That's our condition. That's why we're all here.
What are they going to do with all these mobs of these blacks and white communists have been ripping this country down for 3 months? What are they going to do with these people?
I think that's what the FEMA camps are for, Deacon. In fact, I don't even know how they're going to play it. It's almost like if they pick Trump, they're going to know that the cities are going to basically, everything is going to rupture. And so it could be that maybe they're going to use the vets and the patriots and the Christians and the constitutionalists. There's going to be a lashback where already armed patriots and militias are meeting these Black Lives Matters and all the rest of these people with guns in the street. I mean, like Stone Mountain, you had more than a few hundred white boys heavily armed, tacked up against dozens and dozens of Black Lives Matter. All of them had guns. I mean, I was waiting for the shots to go off. They got in fist fights. Everybody's yelling, don't shoot, hold. I mean, one fight breaks out after another. And then the smart ones on each side pull the guys out of the fight. Everybody's saying, keep your guns down. Nobody fire. And I'm just taking a look at that. And then the third force shows up, which was the police. And they show up a few hundred strong. And they all had the best weapons. And so you had this weird picture at Stone Mountain where you had the blacks armed the whites armed and the police armed. I mean, crazy stuff. And just waiting for all it took is one gun to go off. And everybody would have freaked. That would have been a bloodbath. That would have been like Fort Sumter. That would have been the beginning of the American Civil War, Second Civil War. But it does look like they're going to use Trump for that. So maybe they're thinking that they're going to use the patriots and the vets to clean up, you know, the rioters and the looters and the burners. Or maybe after President Trump wins re-election, now that is the other big question. Do they want him to win it by a landslide or just by a little so they can really rupture it? If he wins it by a landslide, he could sign a presidential directive, Deacon, in which he'll do what he did with the Oregon State Police, in which he basically deputized them into the federal Homeland Security network. So now when you see an Oregon State Police officer, you got to realize he's actually a dual officer. He's a state police officer, but he's also a federal agent, and he comes under the auspices and all of the guidelines of a federal officer. So it could be that President Trump, after he gets elected and the cities erupt and they burn, he does a presidential directive in which he deputizes all 800,000 police officers in under Homeland Security, and then gives them immunity and protection as federal agents. And then he puts the order out, look, enough is enough, shoot to kill. And then we go through one or two nights in which the cops just gun people down, and we get a couple dozen dead over a couple of days. But then the third night, nobody shows up. It's all done. Wow, looks like we're already at a break. Wow,
all right, we'll be right back. Don't go away. We'll be right back with the hijacker, come on, folks.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take freedom!
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic. topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
This is David Dungeon from Shiny Side Out. You're listening to Revolution Radio. And now we return you to Liberation Nation with Deacon John.
Alrighty, welcome back. Don't forget we're listener supported at freedomslips.com. So if you head over there to our homepage, we'd appreciate it if you could make a donation, freedomslips.com. So last night we had the big High Council roundtable overnight, most of the night. And we had Dude Guy. We had, is it Big Dave, you say, from Australia?
Big John.
Okay, yeah. Big John. And we had Dude Guy, and we had Tones, and you guys and hashed it out.
808 Free and Awake. Oh, and I think Ozzy Paul as well, yeah.
Nice. So you guys hashed it out, and you basically boiled it down to Bars come in, and he's the cleaner, and he cut the deal, and no one's going to jail. They're going to keep the money they stole, and Trump gets to be president, and then they're going to figure out who gets to steal what, keep what they stole, and what the new currency is going to be, and the Jews are in the thick and middle of this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the Israeli Zionist Jews were just too powerful in this particular Jewish civil war for basically the inept Bolshevik atheistic Jews like Nadler, Schumer. At the end of the day, those Jews, the right wing Jews, were too powerful for the left wing Jews. And if you think about it, as far as competency, I mean, can you imagine if Biden and Harris get in there, and then Nadler's got a seat at the table, and you know, Kosher, Cortez, and then Schumer, wants his brother, or his uncle, Jaime, to be Secretary of Treasury. And, the incompetence. They're not going to give up this crew. They got their crew that's very competent. They know what they're doing. These are the top of the line, Zionist, Babylonian, economic, New York godmen. They know what they're doing. They all can drive semi-trucks. You can throw them in. They can go right through the gears. They can drive. So they're not giving this crew up. They got what they got. And Trump's the perfect economic man to transition. He's probably the only one that could go to a universal credit while keeping everybody calmed down. We did game out cryptos. Dude, guy's really anti-crypto. I tried to explain to him that, look, what everybody's trying to do with the cryptos is – they're trying to get rich off of it. They know that it's the next stage of economics. And then right before we go to a universal crypto type system, people like Mr. Rowe, Tones, that's when they think they're going to try to jump out right before it goes into the universal. And so that's their way. That's how they're gaming out to get rich. Basically, to make their money. Dude Guy says, well, it's not going to work. But he thinks by the time like Bitcoin gets up to 100 grand and a Mr. Rowe gets ready to jump, Dude Guy thinks that silver and gold are going to be through the roof. And when they get ready to jump out, they're not going to be able to jump out. Not only not going to be able to jump out into cash, but they're not going to be able to jump out into like precious metals. So he says it's a fallacy. It's like a hamster on a wheel. It's a trick. We gamed out a few things. The economics, the political way forward, Then we came up with one, Free and Awake came up with this one. So you got COVID-19. So we got COVID-19, actual character or a personality. And so you got a movie and it starts off with COVID-19. So it's a guy with COVID-19 on his forehead. He's the actual virus. And so we found out that COVID-19, he's got curfews. He's got places he likes to go and he doesn't like to go. He's got political beliefs. You know, it's okay to, you can't go to church because that's where he's at. He likes to go to church. He likes to be in the churches. But if you want to go to a titty bar or a strip joint or you want to go to a liquor store, COVID-19, he's nowhere around. You want to do a, riot, and burn a city, COVID, he doesn't hang around there, but he hangs around with people who got, you know, lots of money, dress well, sort of sympathy for the devil. He likes conservative people more than he likes liberal people. Anyways, we broke down that you could actually do a documentary movie on COVID-19 as a person and, you know, what his political beliefs are and his persuasions and, you know, where he likes to go and doesn't like to go. Like, he really likes private gyms, but gyms that are in government buildings that are still open, he doesn't like to go there. So, anyways, we did a little skit on that. Somebody could make a really good documentary on, it'd be a really cheap movie, the COVID-19 guy, and his personality and what he likes and doesn't like.
That'd be fun.
That would be, interesting, but, there you go.
So, So this is very interesting. So you mean to tell me, this whole thing about the impeachment and Mueller and tearing and beating people and killing people and ripping everything down, and so Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama don't go to prison. That's what this is about.
Well, really, Deacon.
I mean, there's a lot more, I'm just saying. But
right.
I mean,
what it is that this power that, like Bruce McDonald talks about, this unseen power that can actually make 189 countries all go into quarantine, except for Sweden. And now Sweden's over.
Right. T-Wave computer, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that. Or actually, it's actually Lucifer, Satan, who's, the devil, so to speak, that he's actually running this whole show with his progeny, his children on this earth. So the thinking is that because they're going into the final rotation, bring us into a one world order, is that... Mm-hmm. If you were to go after people like Brennan and Clapper and Comey and Hillary and Obama for this whole thing, it is so disruptive and so destabilizes the government narrative that it's not worth it. And so it's actually been traded off for a more peaceful, stable type path. That's the thinking. The thinking is that, you know, this thing has been traded and they're not going to disrupt this whole COVID-19 narrative and all the lockdown they got. And, you know, now they got quarantine camps in places like Canada, Ottawa, New Zealand, Australia. Mandatory
what's that
testing.
All about? I mean, that's like out of control there. I mean, they'll beat you and throw you to the ground if you walk out and you don't have a mask on. I mean, that's a little out of control there.
Oh, they're just they'll break in and get an arrest a pregnant woman who's on the, you know, she's scheduled for a mammogram or a sonogram that morning, and they actually take her, put her in cuffs, and take her to a FEMA camp. No, it's tyranny. It's this whole global, they're putting everything into place and they're doing it. You know, dude, guy said they're doing it a bit, you know, now you got to wear a mask. You know, now you see the security guard at Walmart. Now they're doubling down. Now they got roadblocks in Hawaii in which you can't go through a tunnel or you can't travel, unless you get, tested. So no, they're not stopping. This is their model. which is the reason why they're not going to do too many things that are disruptive of the model, the plan they got. And that's what Barr is there for. Barr is to broker out. We're going to keep this thing under wraps. We're not going to light up the people's mind with how there was a coup against the sitting president. We're going to trade that. It's going to be quiet.
Well, did you see that? What's his name? Watergate reporter. What's his name on TV?
Woodward and Bernstein.
He said that Mattis was planning a coup against the duly elected government and Trump. And did you see that? He came out with that. Yeah, yeah. That's why Trump kicked Mattis out. I don't know if you saw that or not, man.
Right. And that's all the thing about Kelly. Yeah, just because we gamed it out doesn't mean it can't go the other way, Deacon. But from what we can see, this is all theater. This is all stuff like red meat for each side. So they're giving red meat for the hardcore leftists, the Black Lives Matter, Antifa. And then they're giving red meat to the QAnon. For instance, Pence, he's going to a QAnon-backed event. And, you know, he'd probably do the Q sign or something and charge up the Qvians of the Qvian universe. And they're giving red meat to the constitutionalist and the Christians, so to speak. So this has all been scripted out. And so really doesn't matter what you see, you know, what comes out in the book of Rake called Rage. You know, Woodward, he's just playing a part. They're all pretty much playing their part on this overarching narrative that we find ourselves into. But they're not going to shatter it. They're not going to shatter it with something like a change up, a massive change up of government, especially with the incompetence on the Joe Biden and that Bolshevik atheistic Jewish side. I mean, they're really incompetent. And the other Jews know it too. I mean, Mnuchin, you know, for him to think, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Chuck Schumer's uncle, Jaime, is going to run the Treasury Secretary position. Mm-hmm. You know, Mnuchin laughs. He's not going to let that Jew, he's not going to let Schumer's uncle or brother anywhere near that. The Jews are, the right-wing Jews beat the left-wing Jews. They kicked their ass, basically. They won this civil war. It's over. It's over. So now we just have the theater.
Now you got all these white communists running around and all the Black Lives Matter. What that's a hell of a mess someone's got to clean up there, boy. You know? I don't know how they're going to do that. But,
Yeah, well, they'll get the law enforcement to do it. I'm telling you, if Trump wins in the landslide, he's not going to have a problem signing that executive directive, giving the police, all the police federal immunity under Homeland Security type of deputization program. And then he's going to do what Bush Sr. did with the Rodney King, with the National Guard, shoot to kill. Mm-hmm. And the riots were over in two nights. That was the end of that.
Wow. Wow. Well, I guess we ought to get our popcorn out then, huh? Ought to be fun the next couple of months to see what the heck happens over here. Yeah.
Well, the big thing, we need to get ready because ultimately, Deacon, we all got an AI bot on us on how they're going to bring us to the mark of the beast. And so I think that we each one of us, we got our own personal AI bot that is studying us and looking to see how it can either sacrifice us or convince us to take the shot, get the vaccine, take the mark of the beast. That is the game. Actually, it's not an economic game we're actually playing. This is a high-ordered a spiritual game, and it's about our eternal destiny. And now they got an AI bot that's trying to figure out how to steal that. In other words, how to bring us to hell. That is the game for each one of us. So I think that's the
What
I wouldn't okay, be breaking so, out right, no popcorn. That, I'd
that's
be
your, that's your AI stuff. So what did the what was the consensus of the panel as far as I mean how are they gonna unwind all this stuff that's been just like it's like mayhem, just like over in Vietnam with the napalm, just you know, carpet bombing stuff. I mean, how in the you think they're gonna let Trump when he gets reelected go ahead and clean it all up with the police and the military, huh?
Yeah. And then it's going to go into rolling out the military for the vaccine. And then it's going to go from a, you can get the vaccine, you can make your own decision on it, to it's going to be mandatory. and then you're not going to be able to travel without a vaccine card or go into a restaurant unless you got it. I mean, they've
got to pull that out, huh?
Yeah. That's where they're going. Oh, that's where they're going. And they're actually going to the New Zealand or the Ottawa model. Either you get tested or you're going into a quarantine camp. That's what they did to the Toronto. Oh, what's the Providence? What's the French Providence, Deacon? I'm getting it wrong. It's in Canada. The people that always, they're always causing problems in Canada, the French. It's not Ottawa.
Quebec,
that's it, yeah. Quebec. Yeah, so all these Quebecians, you know, French people, went to all these different bars, and then somebody tested positive, and then they did contract tracing, and they traced, you know, they tracked down about 50 or 75 of them that were all in contact with the bar. And they went right into their homes and took them to quarantine camps in Quebec.
Right. Right.
So that's what they're doing. They're setting up the contact tracing. They're putting the whole program together, which is another reason they're not going to break the narrative, or they're not going to break the what they got set up. Because they're first going into an economic reset, and they need Trump, they need the United States to go along, to be stable, to make the transition. And then they're going to go into this, you know, full out vaccine mark of the beast type thing. but we are going into our judgment. The other thing is that for people, if you really do want a quick get rich scheme, so Bix Weir, he's basically saying that at the end of the day, gold and silver are going to be one for one. And he makes the argument that all the gold, pretty much all the gold that's ever been mined on the earth is still on the surface of the earth. You know, it could [S2] Wow. [S1] Be in statues or bars or whatever, but, you know, very little gold. Some gold has been used for maybe electronics or whatever, but not that much. Meanwhile, 80% of the silver, of all the silver that's ever been pulled out of the ground, almost all of it is sitting in landfills, in computers and cell phones and medical equipment and photography and all the different industrial applications that silver had to be used. And that every year, nearly 80% of all the silver that's pulled out of the ground is basically used up in industrial use. And so there's actually very little silver above the ground compared to gold.
Right.
And so he thinks that ultimately silver will get to be 1-to-1, or actually a gold will be 2-to-1 to silver, an ounce of silver. So that is the big suppression is, silver. And the other thinking is that once silver does start to pop, or what Bix Weir's Road to Ruta talks about, hitting the moonshot, when it really does start to rocket, that it's going to rocket quick, because the Zionists out there, they don't want the middle class, particularly the white boy middle class, to get rich off buying up all the cheap silver before it jumps up to $200, $300, $400,000 an ounce. And so
right.
once it goes up, once it like hits 50, then they're going to take it from 50 to 100, and then it's going to just go through the roof real quick. In other words, it's going to like, it's, you know, right now I think it's like $27, which, by the way, you can't actually get it. You got to pay anywhere from a $7 to $10 premium.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not like you can go to a coin shop and get silver. It's at $27 now, and the coin shop is going to sell the silver at like $30. I mean, it's way above that. So silver is actually a third more than what they actually say it is when you actually have to buy it. I know a little bit about this. I'm right. not going to tell you how, but I got a couple of sons that, you know, they make pretty good money. So, you know, anyways, so we did game that out, that silver and gold, and that silver is going to be though, that's mm-hmm. the big suppression. That's the big one that's going to make it. And that's what Dugai says. That when Mr. Rowe gets ready to jump out when his Bitcoin's at $100,000, he thinks he's going to jump out and he's going to be able to pick up all this cheap silver. He says, but it won't work because they are in tandem. Once one skyrockets, that means they've lost control of the private Bitcoin, crypto-type Litecoin well, currency, so to speak, electronic currency. Yeah. But at the same time, they're going to lose. They're going to actually lose control of the physical metals, of the copper, right. the silver, the gold. Anyways, go ahead, Deacon. I'm talking too much.
So no, that's something that Jeremy said, that all the Masons, high level Masons, had invested in cryptocurrencies. He said gold and silver is going to be illegal. I don't know if that's true or not, but he did make the statement, which reinforces something you were saying, that is that they're going to the cryptos, and all the high level Masons had put all their money into cryptos, that type of thing. So that's interesting. That's sort of an overlap, you know?
Yeah.
With what you're saying there.
Yeah. And the billionaires, they can jump in anytime they want and affect the crypto market. So I'm sure they're quietly buying what they can. But the whales, there are a number of whales that basically control it. We've watched them take, like, Bitcoin. They'll drive it up $2,000-$3,000, and then it'll be way up there, you know, like 12, 13. Then they slam it back to 10. Then they take it back up to 12. Then they slam it back to 9, and then buy. And so they're Joshua-izing it, basically. I don't think that's a word, but it's in the ballpark. It's in the neighborhood. Some kind of word like that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's you guys really went to work last night. Then you came up with some pretty good solutions, and I think that circumstantial evidence on the street kind of supports what you guys had discussed and the conclusion you came up to, because the whole riot thing has sort of ratcheted down quite a bit, hasn't it? I mean, it's still sort of existing, but it's not really like totally out of control. And the COVID is sort of, it's subsided too. So maybe they've got this truce where they're negotiating all this, you know, all this, the stuff that you're talking about. That could be. Barr's the guy, you think, huh?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And this would line up with Dana Covingstone sub-prophecy about what happens on election, right after the election, like a bell rings and all of the rioters and everybody who are tired, and they're all like laying down like zombies, and then the election of Trump happens, and then a bell rings, and then like rabid dogs, they start saliving where they got like a buckets of saliva all over there, and the zombies rise up, and then there's massive burning, and then the whole country just basically just gets ripped apart because of Trump's reelection, which would actually play into the whole Stephen Bannon type scenario, is that that's what they actually want them to do. So they got their justification to fire up the FEMA camps, and basically to get these people that are acting animalistic, you know, off the streets. And then President Trump, you know, he comes in with his, you know, deputization, shoot to kill order. And then he basically rolls them up. Then there's supposed assassination attempts at, you know, against them, probably false flags. They make right. up. Maybe that's to pull the Patriots into the battle for the cities or the suburbs or however they're going to play it. But it does play along with the prophecy of Dana Covingstone. How we game this thing out. But, yeah, so...
Wow, this thing just keeps changing every day. Well, we'll see if they put this deal together. We will check it out and see what happens with that. But you guys, the guys did a great... honestly, Hijacker, that never would have occurred to me. You guys really... You guys have a lot of credit and originality, and I never would have thought of that.
I got to give the credit, especially for the movie, COVID-19, the personification... making a movie out of a guy that's COVID-19 and his political beliefs and where he can go and what he likes. I got to give that to Free and Awake, but the economic timeline, and then it's all really about the stabilization and the transition of the economics. That's got to go to Dude Guy. He called that. And once he called that, cause I was thinking you got to change a chief executive. Trump's too hard to work. No, COVID's a fake virus. Yes. No, I'm going to use the military. No, Quetzalcoatl that can heal it. He goes back and forth. Now they're gonna need somebody lockstep. But Dude Guy's right. No, it's about the money. And if you go to the money, you're gonna have to keep that Israeli Zionist, Babylonian economic New York Godmen crew there with Mnuchin at the head to transition over. And so that's how they think. They think the money first. And so the money is the timeline. So it is the transition. That means they're going to have to keep Trump. They're not going to get Biden and Chuck Schumer's brother as head of Jaime Goldberg, head of the Secretary of Treasury. They're not going to do that. No, the right wing Israeli Zionist Jews were just too freaking strong for the left wing Nadler, Schumer, Bolshevik, atheistic Jews. They won the Civil War. In fact, they completely kicked their ass. They took the field of battle. And so that's what we're left
with. Wow. Good stuff, man. All right, Hijacker. Excellent report. I'm very, very impressed with your work and in the panel, the High Council. Okay. Well, that's it for today. Say goodbye.
Okay. God bless everybody. Hijacker, over and out.
Listening to Revolution.